Welcome everyone to the Denamo Abroad podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Denamo Key related. I'm your host, Alex Lishik, and with us, as usual, from across the pond is Dima. How's it going, Dima?
Yeah, fine. Been ill the last couple of days, but hanging in there. What about you guys?
You'll have to join the ill club. I've been a bit under the weather the past couple of days as well. But overall, I don't, maybe that's just after watching Denamo play the last couple of weeks, it's just can't take it anymore. But our other guest tonight, coming from the great state of Massachusetts, one we've had on before, I'm pretty sure, is Roman. How's it going, Roman?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Looking forward to talking Dynamo.
Yeah, no, it should be a fun time in what has really not been a fun time in the novel world, I guess.
Fun is one way of saying it.
It can't even, like, it's so bad you can't even make jokes about the team, can you? Like,
Yeah,
it's not like it.
it's like making fun of like someone who's in a wheelchair, like they're not gonna say anything back. You can't say anything, but we're gonna do it anyway in this case.
So we'll start off with some transfer news. Is Dima, what's the news regarding Popov?
Well, the news is that I think the Fiorentina scouts are on heroin or something because they are looking, apparently, they are looking to bring in Denis Popov. Yeah, I mean, what can you say about this one? I mean, the guy has not really been in the best of form, the last season or two, to say the least. He's been pretty sloppy, but I think it's fair to say that the players he's surrounded by have not helped, and he's been very unfortunate with injuries. I mean, I kind of want to get Roman involved in this. I mean, like, what do you think about this one?
So I remember 2, 3 years back, he was getting interest from Italian clubs. And obviously he had a lot more promising career at the time. But like you said, he's not in best form at all. Injuries have hurt his career for sure. But like, Zabarnyi really, he was in pretty poor form when Bournemouth went to go buy him. So I think Popov's young enough where I think you can still salvage a good bit from his career and you can still be a player that plays in a top league. So I would certainly suggest that this transfer happens. I don't even particularly care about a transfer fee at this point. Because if you don't sell him, I don't think you're getting any money from ever.
No, exactly.
So I would certainly give him a go for sure. The worst that can happen is he probably sits on the bench or doesn't do anything. And returns to Dynamo 2 years from now. So I was certainly given the chance because a few years ago, he was a center back with a ton of potential. I think even early 2022, he, same thing. We look at him as a player that had a lot of potential. So I would certainly encourage it. I have my doubts on how likely it is to happen, but I certainly wish for it to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, his career really kind of started going downhill after that early 2022. That's a good point. But yeah, I mean, you just got to wonder like how he will do with like hypothetically better coaches, better, players around him, all of that. And yeah, he's not that old really in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, I would let him leave, to be honest with you. If it was up to me, I would let him leave.
The one thing I just want to add here is that I have no problem with letting him go to Fiorentina. The only problem is Dynamo at the minute are not really blessed with huge amounts of quality at center back. Like, I don't care who you are, you've got to be on something to tell me you feel confident with Christian Bilovar and Maxim Djachuk starting at center back for a game. So does that mean Anton Bol gets a look in? Does that mean that kid Mikhaylovka, who's been on the bench a couple times, does that mean he gets a look in? I think it's gonna have to, because yeah, we know Surkis, and with everything going on, he's not spending 10 million euros to bring in a new center back, is he?
Well, it
He
will have
won't.
to be them because
So
there
it'll have to be them,
nobody
yeah.
else.
And kind of maybe like what happened with Zabarnyi is maybe you kind of need that guy just being thrown into it and he just grows into the role like Zabatomi kind of did, and then when he got sold off, we see what he's doing now at Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, will it? Like, he can't do any worse than what we've got at the moment. He cannot be literally no worse. Although, it is Dinamo, and
yes,
I wouldn't really write us off. Like, we never really fail to surprise in a negative way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think we can move on to, should we do the latest game first, or should we do the latest manager news first?
Either or, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of one. Yeah, they're all together, aren't they?
Let's do the latest game first. So in case you weren't aware, Dinamo lost 1-0 to Waxtap Donetsk, courtesy of an Alexander Zubkov goal. And it actually wasn't a bad first half from Dinamo. Second half was dreadful. Changes came way too late. And yeah, you guys from there have the floor. Dima, your thoughts from that game?
Well, yeah, I mean, you pretty much just kind of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, first half, I actually thought it was pretty good. I mean, I actually even tweeted out that we kind of matched them to a man, and we kind of did. I mean, we were pressing. Like, I haven't seen us press like that in a long time, but, you know, we even had a few chances here and there, but, you know, obviously we didn't convert. Karavayev, well, I was fuming with that. And actually, one thing as well to mention, Brashko was the captain because Bujalski was injured, and obviously there's no Yarmolenko. But I feel like Brashko was quite a like weird choice. Like, it doesn't even really matter, but it was just something worth mentioning. But yeah, second half was really, really flat. I mean, like the play was really sloppy from us in defense and in midfield. I feel like if Shakhtar were kind of a lot better on the ball, which, I mean, I say that, but then they went and beat Barcelona, so, you know, they can't be that bad on the ball. But in this game, they were really not that great, in my opinion. But we literally, like, there were a few moments where, like, our players, I think one of them was Brashko, where he got caught in possession, and they almost scored. And the other one, it was... who was it? Dubinchak, who literally, I think he like crossed into his box, like Mykola Morozuk style, and then they almost scored. I think it was Kryskiv or whoever it was, who like, he didn't put that one away. I don't know how that didn't go on, a Sikan or someone like that, but like, we were lucky that it wasn't more, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, like, it's been kind of a recurring theme over the last few years, but the one big thing from the second half is the substitutions for me. Like, they came, I want to say, at like the 85th minute or something like that. Like, it can't have been, if it's earlier, it wasn't much earlier. And we brought on, to 82nd minute. So we did a double substitution of Tsarenko on for Benito, who was literally non-existent, by the way. Like, he had a like a acrobatic effort in the first half, but like, other than that, he was like, you might as well have not played him. And then we brought on Supriaha, who in 10 minutes he had zero touches on the ball, which kind of says a lot, doesn't it?
I think that says honestly more about how bad Dinamo are than anything about him, because he made one decent run.
Yeah.
It wasn't like anything crazy. I think he just made a diagonal run towards the corner, and Dubinchak could have at least give him a chance to get on it. And I think he turned around and passed it back to like Buscan or Sirota or something like that.
He made another one as well.
Yeah.
There was so one.
The only thing I'll say in Supriaga's defense is at least he was active, which, to be fair, you'd hope from a center forward in the last 10 minutes when you're chasing goal, but still.
Well, I don't know why it took us till the 82nd minute to chase a goal, but anyway. And then we brought on Ponomarenko, who is like, he's very young, obviously. I think he's like 17 or something like that. And he made like a really good pass again, again to that clown Karavayev, who he had two options, basically. He had an option to square it to Supraro, who was actually kind of in a good position. Like, it is only Supraro, so you don't know what's going to... You don't even know what's going to happen with the ball. But, that kind of maximises our chances. But what he chose to do was he chose to shoot, and just like his shot in this first half, blasted it miles over. And yeah, I mean, it was pathetic, really. Yeah, it's just not good enough. Just not good enough all around. I mean, at the same time, though, you look at our bench, right? And there's like, I think there's like 11 players on the bench, 11, 12 players on the bench. And literally like 8 of those players are defenders and goalkeepers. So, like, on one hand, you got to say, like, okay, fine, there's not really anyone we can even bring off. But, like, the 3 players that he brought on started making a difference. So why did it take so long? But anyway, yeah, like, is there anything Roman would like to add as well? Because obviously he watched the game.
I agree the overall point that Dinamo definitely looked a better side in the first half and probably should have been winning at halftime, to be honest. And like you mentioned, Dima, they were pressing pretty hard in the first half. Like, I haven't seen that early in the season. And I think they just essentially ran out of gas to do that come the second half, which is why I ask, why wait until the 80th minute to make subs at that point? Clearly, if you're the manager, you have to see that your players are running on fumes here. You're not creating anything. And you got to make subs before the 80th minute at that point. So, and yes, to your point, you were saying about the bench, and this was an especially thin bench due to Yarmolenko's injury and Vanat's suspension. Bujalski was out, so it was quite a thin squad going into it, but still, you got to do something before the 80th minute. Well, at that point, it very well could have been too late if Shakhtar had gotten a second one before then. So, yeah, it was a good-looking first half, and definitely not Dinamo's worst-looking match this season. But I believe going into the match, there's probably an ultimatum given to the manager. So the result was what it was. And we'll that led to the next point that we'll probably be talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to talk about this thing with the bench, right? Lucescu, like, there was times in the past, and a great example is Zabatini, where he had literally no other choice, so he just played a kid, right? And we all know what happens about it, right? I'm not saying like Salenko Jr. or Makhavko or like what, or Podomarenko, that's going to be them, but wouldn't say, listen, I have nothing better, I have nothing to lose, I rather give these kids a chance. Like, isn't like Salenko Jr. a winger, I think?
Yeah,
wouldn't you rather say, you know what,
Caravaggio. I think maybe he's a midfielder, actually.
Well, but he's more of an offensive-minded player, right?
I believe he's
more, yeah. So if he's an offensive-minded midfielder, you've seen Caravaggio's fluffed his lines every time he's on the ball. Give the kid a chance. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, could he have really done any worse than some of those guys?
Probably not.
So, and that's my issue. Is like, do you, like, just trust the academy? And listen, Dinamo, we're very fortunate where we could have, you know, so many youth products and still be competitive on a domestic and usually on an international scale. So you got to give the kids a bit of trust. But
competitive is a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
Well, no, but I'm saying with, like, the youth leagues, like the U19 teams.
Yeah, that's true.
So my argument would be, we have this supposedly good academy that we can call up kids to the first team. And also, we've talked about before, what's the one thing we struggle with? We're so bad at integrating these kids into the first team. Why? Because we let them sit in the reserves or on loan until they're 21, 22, that we don't understand why they can't properly adapt to Dinamo first team football later on. That's the problem. Yeah. Instead of having kids make their debut at 16, 17, 18 and be in or out of the first team, no, they're friggin' with the U19s until they're 21, and then they go off to, and no disrespect intended, but they go off to Kolos, they go off to Dnipro Odin, and then they just sit there and then become kind of half-assed level players.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you say Kolos, but they've got probably better defenders than we do. Me and Roman were talking about it, so I think it was Roman who points out Burda, like, he had a... I'm not saying this is the most important thing for a defender, obviously, but he scored an assist today, I think.
Yeah.
He did, albeit it was against Minai. But overall, Kolas has given up like 9 goals all season, lowest in the league. So their defense is strong. They don't score often, but their defense is strong. And Burda was a good signing, to be honest with you, because he really didn't play like Zorya when he was loaned there last season. But he's kind of jumping right back into play, and he's playing pretty well. So,
but my point is with Kolas is, and let's take the strikers, for example, because I do agree it probably will be good for someone like Burda, is let's take a Kirill Popa, for example, who's been scoring goals in the U19s and the U teams, and goes to Kolas, absolutely just does not feature, does not score. Like, that's not good for the kid's development. You know what I mean? So that's where my issue comes with loaning kids at 19 and 20 to like Kolas, when I'd rather have them be in the cap, at least on the bench for the first team now and again, maybe getting into cup games and stuff like that. That would be my issue with loans, like the clubs like Kolas, for example.
Yeah, but thing is with our academy is, like I've said it so many times, like all we teach them is just to like run, hit and run them. With Shakhtar, they teach them how to play the football. That's the cold hard truth. Like, yeah. You just gotta admit it. Like, you gotta look, like take one look at a player like Sudakov, for instance. Like, we have not got players that can do that, man. Like, maybe Chaparenko, but like, this guy is still young, and like you have to be honest, like he's doing this at the top level, as much as it's possible, you know, like against Barcelona and that. So, like, you know, questions have got to be asked. But like on the flip side, yeah, like loaning them to these like mid-table UPL clubs, like it's not going to do anything for them, like nothing at all.
And if the goal is not development, say, hey, he's not going to be a Dynamo player. At that point, I'd rather just let him go on a free and you get him off the books completely.
But might as well do that, because that's what happens in the end anyway. So.
Yeah. 3 or 4 loans later to Alexandria, Kolas, and Chornomorets, and then they don't really feature ever again. But
pretty much less
on the academy, more we gotta, unfortunately we can't stop talking about this Dynamo wax tap game, because what happened to Mr. Luchescu there, Dima, after the game?
Well, I believe what happened was that he resigned in the press conference afterwards. And yeah, listen, the writing has been on the wall for a very, very long time now. For anyone who has eyes, which does not include our owner, by the way. But yeah, it was kind of like, it's kind of been like a tradition that like whoever... not whoever, but like after the Shakhtar game, like if one of our managers is struggling, which is quite often, by the way, over the few years, and he loses against Shakhtar, that more often than not has been the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened last game. And yeah, listen, it was time to go. Like, simple as that. It was time to go. I think he should have gone last summer when he failed to qualify against Benfica in the Champions League, for the Champions League. And like, yeah, maybe that's harsh, but like you could see this, like it was not right then. Like, I knew that, you know, it was gonna go nowhere, and that's when I would have sacked him, you know, to give, you know, the team something new. Cause this guy, like, he is literally almost 80 years old. Like, this guy is not going to be innovating anything. He's not going to be learning on the job. Like what you see with him is what you get. And yeah, what we were getting is, and what we were seeing was absolute crap, to be honest. Like, fourth place in the UPL. Like, I don't know how that wasn't enough to sack him. You know, constant. What pissed me off the most was the constant excuses at the press conference is like, oh, the wind was blowing. Oh, the team was tired. Yeah, no shit, the team is tired, because you never fucking rotate the team, and you never make the substitutions in time. Yeah, I'm not surprised the team is tired. But anyway, yeah, in my opinion, he was taking the piss out of the fans, to be perfectly honest. And yeah, like, I don't know why we stuck with him for so long, but yeah, it was inevitable. This season, total piss take, to be honest with you. Out of the Like, we didn't even make it for the Conference League. And by the way, we lost to Besiktas. They are terrible. Like, they are on 1 point after, like, what is it, like 4 or 5 games? Like, they are terrible. They are not a good side. Like, do not tell me that this is a team that we could not have got a result against. But yeah, and one team we also could have easily got a result against was Bologna in the cup when we lost to them. So yeah, to sum it up, we haven't won a trophy since 2021. Where, like, yeah, we won the treble, but yeah, like, life goes on, and like, trophies don't stop after that. And we haven't won one since then. In Europe, it's always been kind of pathetic, but in the last few seasons, like, it's been kind of a next level. But yeah, league standing, league ranking is poor, out of the cup, out of everything, nothing to play for, same crap every game. Yeah, like, what can you expect? But yeah, he's gone. I mean, can anyone argue with that conclusion?
So I personally think he should have been sacked or resigned after the Klasicne last season, the first one, when Shakhtar won 3-1. That's because that was after it was at least after the Larnaca loss. And I think it might have been after both Ren losses as well in Europa League.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. We were kind of, yeah.
You were out of Europa League pretty much at that point. At maximum, you're getting Conference League, but that even that would have taken a miracle to get third at that point. And then you lose the Klasicne 3-1. That's when I think he should have been. That should have been over. And then you could list 10 points after that when it was.
Oh yeah, there were so many on that. So many.
But yeah, finally it's over. I personally think Sourkis probably had enough, and he probably gave an ultimatum that if he didn't win this game, it was over. But he could resign. It's kind of save face a little bit, just make it less embarrassing for himself. But it doesn't really matter, because the good news is that he's finally out, and it certainly can't be any worse.
No,
and now that we move on to this post Luchescu era, I asked you guys a question. Is Shafkovsky, which, okay, sorry to possibly spoil this, but is Shafkovsky the right guy to take over going forward?
For me, right? For me, his like, if he's going to be a success, is kind of depends on one thing, or sorry, even two things. Number one, is he going to bring in, as part of his backroom staff, is he going to bring in a bunch of his mates, a bunch of ex-players who, you know, like, they have no other credentials apart from those things? Or is he going to bring in professionals, specialists in their job, like Rabrov did back in 2014 when he came in, and he brought in those Spanish guys who, like they knew what they were doing, like, and, like, to be honest with you, our ex-players don't. And some of those are now working with him in the national team and the under-19s, and you can see the work they're doing, right? Or is he going to bring in a bunch of ex-players who, like, and we know how that goes, don't we? Like,
mm-hmm.
How many of them over the years have we seen? But the other thing for me, how much is he going to be standing up to our owner, right? Is he going to be another yes man who just says, yes, sir, more, sir, you know, 3 bags falter? Or is he going to look at signings like, what's that Brazilian guy we signed?
Clayton?
Yeah, Clayton. Like, say Sourkis comes to him and say, oh, I'm signing this guy. Say to him, no, fuck off. Like, I don't need this guy. Why are you giving me this guy? I'm not going to play him. Is he going to see that we're going to sign another cool edge and say, no, I don't need him because I'm not going to play him? Is he going to, like, speak up about this? Or is he going to just going to say, oh, yeah, well, as long as I get my money, I'm never going to play these players. It's going to be a massive waste of everyone's time and money. But, you know, fine, as long as I keep getting paid. Is it going to be one of those? Or is it going to be that he's going to challenge the owner when needed? We're going to have to wait and see, aren't we? I mean, Like, I love Sasha, obviously. Like, he's a legend. Like, but I really don't want to see yet another, like, legend, club legend, like, tarnish their reputation at the club, which has happened a lot of times over the last few years. Like, most of the time by them taking the lead, the head coach job. And yeah, I mean, obviously, like, he's never even managed, so like, you can't, there's nothing to really evaluate him on. But the only thing I would say about Shavkovsky is that he is, like, he's a very smart guy. Like, the thing is, like, he's the kind of guy that, like, he analyzes everything very deeply. Like, he's a guy that will think about making it, like, the decisions he makes, like, very in depth, and he will kind of, I think, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, after, like, say after a loss, he will kind of, he will think about where the team has gone wrong. Like, that is the only thing I can think about him. And this is, like, this is purely a personality thing for him, that, you know, he, like, he's just an intelligent guy. So that, like, he's just got that going for him, basically. But, like, again, it's very difficult to even say, like, we're just gonna have to wait and see, aren't we?
Yeah.
What do you think, Rowan? Are you on the same page as Dima?
Yeah, I definitely agree. He was the caretaker manager for a bit when Luchescu was in the hospital, but I think he was probably getting told what to do, to be honest with you. But I do think there was, it could have just been coincidence, but I think there was slightly better performance on the pitch during that time. But it's not enough to go off of for sure. One thing I do want to point out, though, is it was either 2020 or 21. This was when Shavkovsky was he was Shevchenko's assistant for the national team, and Chornomorets wanted him to be their manager. So there's been clubs that have, albeit they were in Persha Liha at the time, but they, at least one other club has wanted him to be a manager. And I'm sure that has to do with, like Dima says, he's analytical thinking, you know, he's a smart footballer as things go. So it certainly can't be any worse. I don't know that he's going to bring in a ton of other guys, at least not yet. I certainly think players like Husiev will stay around as an assistant, and maybe fair enough because he's been there for a while himself. So I don't think he can do a total overhaul just yet, but I would certainly like to see him take some power away from Sourkis and the control of the team, essentially, and giving more power to himself as the manager. And that goes transfers, subs, players he wants, etc. So, yeah, one other thing that comes to mind is he's a goalkeeper. So will this finally be the time that we see Nesheret get a legit chance to play? So I certainly hope so, at least. I think Bouchon is a very capable keeper too, but he is what he is at this point. I don't think he's going to develop any further. So I would certainly see what you have in Nesheret and certainly give him a chance soon rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's a good shot as well. And I think also Bouchon is one of those few players we could actually probably cash in on as well to get in a decent fee for. But Shavkovsky's going to have a very interesting first game this weekend where Dinamo will take on, can't believe I'm going to be saying this, but he will be taking on top of the table Krivbas. Yes, just in case you misheard me, Krivbas Kriviri is top of the UPL, which ultimately, fair play to them. They've been pretty good this year. They just recently got a really good draw at Polisia, which Dinamo could even muster that. They lost at Polisia. Roman, is this have bogey match for Dinamo written all over it?
I mean, can you even consider it a bogey match at this point? Dinamo are
what's a bit of a hot take. I don't know if I
boss or first, so
it's a bit of a hot take. I don't know if I can handle that at this time.
I think it's going to be interesting because Krivas have the most goals in the league and Dinamo are second, but have played considerably lower games. So Dinamo have the most goals per match. But Dinamo has one goal in the past three, which losing Armolenko 4 matches ago certainly plays a big difference. Last season, I remember Dinamo actually played pretty well against Cuervas, and the first match was when, because Cuervas had a terrible like first third to the season. It was awful. And then they really turned things around. They got like top half because they beat Dnipro. Then last match of like the first half, Volushin scored. So yeah. And then Dinamo won the second match, 1-0. But they were pretty convincing wins for Dinamo. So I'm going to back like a 2-2 draw, I think. I think it'll be high scoring.
Yeah.
I don't know if – will Vanat be playing? I don't know how long his suspension is.
I think – wasn't it just one game for yellow card accumulation? So I think he should be back. But it's anyone's game.
Who's going to give him the ball? Caravive isn't going to provide. Bujals can't touch the ball. You know, but like the thing is, he's a goal scorer, isn't he? Like, he's not like he's not bad on the ball, but he's not the kind of guy that's gonna like run half the pitch, you know, dribble past everything, everyone, and like create for himself. You know, like you gotta give him the ball, and like we have not like Yarmolenko is injured, obviously. Like, without him, I don't think we've got players that can do that.
I do think Volushin has been playing pretty well as of recent, so. But again, you know, you have Karavayev on that side, and
yeah, I mean, like that's one thing I was actually going to mention. That you remind me, Volushin. Like, I forgot he was even playing last game. But like, again, no one's given these guys the ball. You look at on the other, like his opposite number, Neverton. Like he cost them what, like 3 million or something like that.
Yeah, just under 3 million, I think.
That's not a lot of money, man. Like, why are we not looking at? But yeah, that's kind of like, I'm kind of going off on a tangent there, obviously. But yeah, I mean, listen, like, I think it's probably fair to say that Cuervas are probably the favorite, because it's like a home game for them as well, isn't it?
It is. You would think they're the favorites, but Dinamo is the betting favorite. I actually did check that, which is interesting.
Mm.
Maybe they're figuring new manager and such, but
yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, like maybe there's going to be a new manager bounce kind of thing, but like my hopes are not high. Obviously, I think you two probably know that. But like we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Like, I think all we can hope for is just kind of more thinking outside the box, you know, compared to last manager. No, like tactical rigidity. You know, like picking one plan, if you can call it that, and sticking for it with a whole 90 minutes, even though it's obviously not working. Like, no substitutions, like literally in the last 10 minutes. Like, we're gonna have to see something else. That's kind of all we can hope for, because like this game is not a foregone conclusion, like, by any means. So
yeah, Roman, you said it has looks of what, a 2-2 draw?
Yeah. Two highest scoring teams in the league. I mean, Dinamo's defense isn't great. Cuervas actually have a pretty good defense. Beskorovani is having a great season there. U20 World Cup winner there. But yeah, I think a 2-2 draw would be my prediction for this game.
Dima, do you have a prediction?
Thing is, though, like, because the thing is, Roman, like, he knows a lot more about these teams, like, in the UPL than me, like, a lot more. And judging off what he is saying, that they've got a good defense in there. Like, would you say that they're free scoring, Roman? Like, do you think they get a lot of goals?
Cuervas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they lead the league in goals, so.
Yeah, well, listen, like, with those two pieces of information you just told me, like, yeah, as much as we are, like, kind of, like, the best goal-to-game, we've got the best goal-to-game ratio, like, you've got to remember, like, a lot of our players are kind of not on the best form. Like, we don't even know, like, if Bujalski will be back. Vanat is, like, he's coming off of suspensions. He might not be, like, 100%. Like, I know it's kind of only one game missed, but, you know, whatever. Obviously, no Yarmolenko. Like, at this point, you don't really know where the goals are going to come from. And, like, that's something Shavkovsky is going to, like, have to work on. Quit, like, he's not got a lot of time, obviously, but, like, that's something we've got to figure out. Like, to actually get the ball to the striker, because right now we are not doing that at all. So if we can get the good goal, the ball to the striker of Vanat, then we can create chances. Then yeah, I don't see why not. We can at least get a draw. But if we don't, And with us, like with as shaky as our defense is, like they got literally fully sliced apart by that simple pass. Like, yeah, Neverton was good in that, but like it was a simple pass. I'm not hearing it. And yeah, we got sliced apart. So I've got no confidence in us to keep a clean sheet, really. That's not really down to Shafkovsky. That's because our defenders are just not good enough. Simple as. So yeah, for me, at best case, maybe a draw. Maybe. There'll be a new manager bounce and we will even get a win. But like they are literally the favorites for me. Like before what I've
Dima, can you give me a score prediction?
I don't think it's gonna be a clean sheet. Like that's all I could tell you. Like maybe like I'm sorry, but I've gotta say, like I would love to be right, wrong, sorry, but maybe like a 2-1 to Kryvbass, but maybe we will see something. Maybe if we play like we did in the first half against Shakhtar, yeah, maybe it'll be like a, maybe like it'll be even like a 2-1 to us or like a 2-2, like Roman said.
Yeah, I'm for me, I'm feeling a 2-0 and 2-1 loss here. I'm kind of with you, Dio, because I think we're gonna struggle to break down. Could have bossed with any really creative players, and listen, I think we'll be good enough to nick one goal somehow, but I think this game is set up pretty well for Kurbas to defend hard. Listen, Verdedub knows how to play against Namo like the back of his hand, so he'll know exactly what to expect. The team will know exactly what to expect. I think this lines up pretty well for Kurbas, but like you said, maybe a new manager bounce and you never know what happens. I think on that note, Dima, I think that just about wraps up today's show. Am I right? Don't think we have it. I think we got everything.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Really, really fun time in Dinamo Land, as you can tell. No manager, no defenders, barely any strikers, no creative players. It's really fun time. But we always have fun on the Dinamo Broad podcast, I'm sure. on that note, sorry, I was going off a tangent for no reason there at the end. On that note, Dima, if someone would want to contact you, how could they do that?
I'm going to do an Andri here. I'm going to say, nah, forget it. Because I'm trying to stay off the cesspool that is Twitter. So, like, just forget it, you know, forget it. But follow Dinamo Abroad. Follow Roman if he wants you to and all this. But, like, forget about me.
so how about, what's it called? So, Dima, I have a better idea here. If you want to contact any of us from the show, just send us an email to dinamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. I think that works out well.
Yeah.
So on that note, Dinamo's playing Kryvbass this Sunday. Dinamo versus top of the table Kryvbass. I think overall, like I said, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Definitely one to watch. On that note, just want to give a quick shout out to Roman for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Dima, as always, good to see you. And just want to give everyone a heads up, if you want to contact the show or any of us, you could follow us on Twitter at Dinamo Abroad, where our DMs are open, or you can send us an email to dinamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. Well, from Dima, Roman, and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.